Welcome to the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. This is Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack, and today's installment is part one of two of the untold story of KVSC Radio itself. Just recently, KVSC celebrated its 50th birthday by bringing Davina and the Vagabonds, as well as Dead Man Winter, for performances at the Red Carpet and the Pioneer Place, as well as holding an open house down at the station. And over the weekend, we recorded a whole lot of audio, including 17 different oral histories at this point that are all available up on our website at kvsc.org under the podcast and features link. We also recorded the special programming that went out over the air that featured a variety of DJs from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s. All that is also available on our website at kvsc.org under the podcast and features link. And then finally, we've got recordings on the very first day and month and year of KVSC's existence back in 1967. This is also available on our website at kvsc.org under the podcast and features link. So in part one of two of the untold story of KVSC, we're going to weave back and forth in time where I think you're going to find, in more ways than one, that the more things change, the more they stay the same, down in the little basement that bumps. So as we start things off, here's the very first day, hour, and minute of broadcasting at KVSC back on May 10th, 1967 at 4 p.m. Andy Marlowe signing KVSC onto the air for the very first time.
The great, great Sonny Rollins playing a rather unexpected tune, I'm an Old Cowhand. You're listening to KVSC FM and HD, St. Cloud. Now we've done the legal part of operating here. Let's get back to some more fun. I'm Andy Marlowe. I'm here with M.T. Pulley, and we're joined by Bob McGee, and we're all founders of KVSC. We use that term kind of ironically, but we were all here at the beginning. So we've got 50 years with the station. And Bob, you actually started out going to school at Bemidji State and then came here.
Yeah, instead of going to Vietnam, I went to Bemidji for 2 years and came down here. And Andy and I have been together since he was 8 and I was 9. So it's been a long, long time. We're both getting very, very old. And I had the first jazz show on here late night. And we started jazz. It was something nobody was... We could get by with jazz. We couldn't play rock and roll too much, but we could get by with the jazz show. So that's what we did. And I played that. That was the last gig on the air that at night. Something I kind of don't remember the hours, but... It was
probably 10 to midnight.
10 to midnight. Yeah, it had to be 10 to midnight. Can I tell the bar
story? Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah. We used to be a reel-to-reel here, and the last cut on the reel was the national anthem. And we had it timed with that. I'd have everything shut down, the whole place, lights, everything. We played the national anthem. I shut the tape recorder off, and I had 12 minutes to get to the press bar. Because Andy and I both worked at the press bar, and he'd have 4 or 5 drinks set up for me so I could make last call. So KVSC was geared to the press bar in those days. I have a story.
Hence came my belief in the saying, timing is everything.
Everything.
It is indeed. So you did jazz show. You did a bunch of other stuff,
too. I did classics. I got a good education on classics because I knew nothing, but I kept reading the shucks and basically picked up a good education on classic music by doing that. And so it was a fun station. We had a lot of good people here. I am so proud of KVSC. I'm a listener every Saturday and most times every day. And I am so proud of what these kids have done and taken it where it is now. It is a premier station. And I know Andy's proud. I know Merle. I know all of us that started this. You guys are a blessing on what you've done with the station to keep up its quality and its professionalism. It's a good station. It's
a first-rate technical facility, but it's the people that make it, and there's a really great group of people. And I can't recall a time period when there wasn't over those 50 years. I kind of kept in touch because I worked at another radio station, so I'd get here at least once a year and get to meet people and hear what was going on, and always proud of what it was.
Yeah, I'd stop in periodically, get on the air and badmouth somebody or other, but... just the change in equipment. We were just telling Trevor, who's sitting across from me, that all our spots were on. We had 2 reel-to-reel tape recorders up there, and we used to cue live, put a piece of paper where the cue was. And so you hit the power on the reel-to-reel, play your spot, then you cue it up to the next piece of paper. That's what we had to do. We had all our spots were... divided by a piece of paper, a little piece of paper. That was always fun.
Now, when you started out at KVSC, your name, Bobby McGee, was not yet famous.
No.
But it later became famous.
Like I tell people, I'm older than the song. And the author of the song knows of me, so I'm happy with that. There's a guy that was part of KVSC, I don't know if he's here today, named Larry Long. Larry Long is registered at the Smithsonian as one of the great folk singers. And he's used to be our troubadour, traveling all over. And it's just surprising the number of people that have gone through this place and gone on to other careers. And, you know, we're hearing stories back and forth out in the hallway. It's just a hoot. Oh, how are you doing? Where did you do from here? You know, and it's just one story right after another.
All right, we're going to hear now the song that made Bobby McGee famous.
I'm going to go get a cup of coffee.
You're in tune to 88.1 FM, KVSC, and the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota, where today we're talking about the untold story of KVSC itself and its 50th birthday. And now we check out one of the oral histories as some of the folks from the 1970s talk about one of the first revolutions in programming that KVSC experienced over the years.
What Eagle ID from, what was it? KVSC St. Cloud.
I used to say the All-American One Zip Code Town.
Yeah, because that was the least of our concerns. We wanted to play more music. Yeah. That was the goal.
That was talking.
Yeah.
Tim Crow. I live in Minneapolis. I work for Honeywell. I'm in aerospace. I used to be in broadcasting for 20 years, but got a real job.
And space before that.
Yes.
My name is Kelly Pranin. I live in Minneapolis, and I am officially, successfully retired.
Well, my name is Peggy Keene, and I live in Minneapolis, grew up in Minneapolis. Am of the old types collecting Medicare these days, but I'm currently a caregiver, spent a long time in marketing and communications.
But part of the history they do not have has to do with the night that E. Scott Bryce was voted out at the guild meeting as faculty advisor. Do you remember that?
I do.
Because this is part of, to me, that's where they went from suit coats and ties to tie-dye.
Yes. I think that's true. It was the members of the Radio Guild and those that were volunteering at the station were, we were all in that sort of rebellious, but it wasn't intentionally rebellious. It was more the culture and the interest, the music that was getting people talking and going and the kind of things we wanted to do in the community. KSJN at the time was all classical. They were highly competitive. They got on the air just a matter of months before KVSC did. And I think Scott was very traditional. I mean, God bless him. We would not have the radio station without him, without his perseverance. And, you know, it's just like kind of I aged out of things. I forget people's names. I don't remember where I am. But we still aged out of different types of music, different styles. And that's when Scott started, you know, he kind of needed a little lead to the door.
Yes.
But I do think that now the sound alternative that KVSC is surely has, you know, it's a little bit like being a feminist. You know, you don't realize what the women had to do in order for people to gain some footing. You guys were pioneers after you got off the boat, too.
Mm-hmm.
So you created something that everybody had to learn from.
Well, that evening, it was, I believe, a Tuesday, we had the guild meeting on the second floor in Stewart Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And I can still not fathom that people on the radio would be in a classroom together at the same time. But we had official business because this was the night.
Yeah.
And were you leading the meeting?
I don't believe so.
Somebody, maybe Kevin.
Yes.
St. John was leading the meeting, and the motion was made that E. Scott would no longer be the faculty advisor to KVSC. And they had talked to Rich Reeder, and he had given his passive approval to be the faculty person, and of course he
didn't know what he was getting into.
Well, yeah, and he hated authority, which was wonderful for us because we hated authority. And so the motion was made, and somebody came up with Robert's Rules of Order and said you could not vote on this in the same meeting. It had to be a second meeting for discussion and a vote. So we quickly, I think it was Dean Spratt, said, okay, I make a motion, and we all automatically went out to the front of Stewart Hall outside and smoked a cigarette or a doobie, and we had said 15 minutes later we would reconvene in the classroom, which we did, and we made the vote. And if I remember correctly, E. Scott was there.
Yes. Well, it was a very hard time for him. I mean, I think it was a necessary thing. Tim, do you kind of...
I was before my time.
That was before you. Well, I think that the time was right, Kelly. And, you know, it was time to move forward. You know, looking back, you have a little more compassion for things. And for a man who'd invested so much time and energy and his own brand and everything and all of it, it was hard for him to be confronted by all of us,
mm-hmm,
wanting to say, you're an old man now. You know, your thoughts aren't in line with ours. But it's kind of like what the process is. It's a student process. It's a life process. And that was one of the chapters in the life at KVSC. And, you know.
Earlier I promised you that we'd be having a very special interview tonight with coach player A.J. Marlowe of the KVSC FM 88.5 megahertz basketball players. I've been warned to say players instead of team, something about the way they work together, I guess. Here is that preseason visit with Coach A.M. Marlowe.
Welcome to Coach's Corner. This is a first in a continuing series of interviews with the player coach of the KVSC FM 88.5 megahertz basketball player. Here to talk with Coach Marlowe is your commentator, Jeff Herbert.
Let me have this. Hi there, sports fans.
Yeah,
I've got it. I have with me the player coach of the KVSC FM 88.5 megahertz basketball players, A.J. Marlowe. Each week, the coach and I will discuss the previous week's game, the upcoming contest, and the overall condition of his squad. In addition, the coach will bring a special player guest each week, plus slow-motion films of the team in action, narrated by the coach. We may have to check into that films there. All right. Well, Coach, how does it look for the season?
Well, I think we have a good possibility of improving on last year's record. We did have an outstanding season last year, but we've imported a few new players this year.
Just exactly what was your record last year, Coach?
Well, our record was 6-1, six losses and one win.
I see.
I might add that one win was over the leading team in the conference, the losing legends, they call them.
the losing legends.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, who are some of your star players, Coach?
Well, modesty prevents me from mentioning myself, but we have imported a few boys who've been active with the station here and also have some possibilities on the court. One of them is Kaiser Wilhelm. He's going to be our center this year.
Oh, you got him out of Argentina. The last I heard, he was in Argentina.
Yeah, we got him, all right.
All right.
He's a big boy. He's going to throw us a lot of good under the boards. He's got what you call those razor-sharp elbows.
Yeah, I see. Well, when does league play start?
Well, we get going in the league here right after Christmas, and it's a pretty tough league. This year, Eddie Coletti, he's the athletic director, he expects about 90 teams. And they'll be playing about 45 games a night. They've got five courts, and they'll play three times or something like that on all the courts.
I see. Well, getting back to my other question, some of your star players again. Who can we look forward to seeing out there on the court for our team this year?
Well, we got one of the sharpest shooting guards in the conference playing for us, Bill Fang Myers. He'll be wearing number BK1A, so kind of watch for him. He's a real good shot. He isn't too big. He's only 3 foot 2 1/4.
I imagine he can dribble around quite well, though.
Oh, yes.
I thought I saw Myers out just outside here dribbling just before we came in to record this show.
Yeah, well, that was a different kind of dribble. You got to get that straight. Basketball has a different kind of dribble than
I see. Well, I understand you have a couple of faculty players, too, kind of like ringers in there.
Well, we have a couple of outstanding faculty ball players.
Outstanding, I think I saw them outstanding in the hall there, didn't I?
Yeah, that was them,
Oh, they're the ones, yeah.
Yeah, we have a very fine guard, Gary the Hawk Hawkins.
I think I saw his picture, too, out there. It had a little sign on there that said, "Do not take candy from this man."
Yeah, he wears that on the front of his shirt. His wife makes him wear it.
That's his uniform. I see. All right.
His running mate at guard will be James C. What's a Basketball Peeler. He's rather new at the game.
I see.
And these two guys are kind of what we call our twins out there. Hawkins wears number 1022 at stereo, and of course Peeler is 1021. He's monaural.
I see. Well, we got to move along here, Coach. Who is our player guest for tonight, Coach?
Well, I thought about bringing me in as the guest, but that would be a little egotistical, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Instead, I brought one of our big boys, our starting forward. He's really a big fellow. They call him Mark the Giant Johnson.
I see you're from Le Sueur. Is that right?
Well, yeah, I haven't played much basketball. I'm still a little green.
Where'd you go to high school there, Giant?
I played hockey for Niblets High.
Niblets High.
Yeah.
Well, what is your outstanding asset as a basketball player, then? We'll come back to that question. These are a little tough ones. We'll come back. Do you have any personal goals set up for this season?
Well, I'd like to make one. I'd like to make my first one.
Okay,
yeah.
Thanks a lot. Well, Coach, it looks like our time is about up. We were going to go into our films, but I guess we're a little short of time right now.
Aren't you going to ask me any more?
No, I think that's enough, Giant. Put me down, will you? We want to get off the air. Put me down!
It looks like the KVSC-FM 88.5 megahertz basketball players have quite a year ahead of them. We'll be keeping you posted through a series of interviews with the team right here on Tuesday night edition of Montage.
You're in tune to 88.1 FM, KVSC, and the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. We're in today's installment. We're talking about the untold story of KVSC itself as we've just celebrated our 50th birthday. Pretty much all the audio you're hearing is available on our website at kvsc.org under the podcast and features link.
Good evening and welcome to Music Till Midnight. 1 hour each evening, Sunday through Friday, the program features classical and pop music. This is your host for tonight's concert, Jim Telges.
And here in part one of a two-part feature, listening to the early years of KVSC and chatting with some of the folks as they've come back into town for the big reunion.
All right, Bear, we got to get back to the...
You got to be quiet?
No, you don't have to be quiet, but you got to get back to the
Chronicle,
the
that's what it's called.
KV Shmee stuff.
Yeah. I saw that written on your name tag, too. I like it.
He was the Shmee.
That's what they called me.
The Shmee.
The Shmee.
The business manager. He,
well,
he controlled
about...
funds. He controlled music and other things. You
sports.
Were sports. I was semi-music.
Semi?
Well, I was semi.
You were all around. You did morning show.
I did. Me and Ole Olson. And you and Hank.
Yeah. Hank and the Bear on
the air. We started the morning shows.
We were corrupt. And you know what?
Hung over.
What year?
75?
Five, was it?
Yeah, I think so.
But you know what was cool about it? This is what I think was cool. There were 10,000 students. After we were working for a while, we had most of the 10,000 listening to us in the morning. And WJON, we showed up in the book and they were pissed.
That's right.
Because everybody was listening to Fleetwood Mac with us. They didn't give a about WJON. I thought that was great.
Can you say Fleetwood Mac on the air? Is that allowed?
Yeah.
But you know what was great? And of course, we played Waits, and nobody would allow
Tom
that.
Waits? Oh, my God.
Nobody would allow Waits on the air.
Oh, yeah. You can tell your story about you reading the news.
Yeah.
And that's why they call him Moon Bear, because he had a tendency to moon people when they're reading the news.
Well, here's what happened. It was not a tendency, but this guy, Mike Gustafson,
it was a reality.
He was so professional. He never cracked up once. Not once. Do I have to tell that one? Or should I?
You should. Ask these guys. I'm going to have to hit the head here in a moment.
Yeah, I think you should.
Well, like PH said something about it. I mean, you know, most of the people went home because school was over. And a few of us, of course, you know, we're committed to keep the
summer
radio
sessions.
Station going or whatever. And a few of us here. So here was Mike Gustafson. We had the new studios. He was in a small news booth. And you know what? All of a sudden I said, you know, God, I keep looking at this guy. He has never been close to anything other than professional when he's on the air. So I thought, this is my chance, and I'm going to try something. You know, and I heard the stories about light and copy and all that stuff, but I had a better idea. And Steve Anderson was on the board, running the board, and I says, watch this one. And so I went up, and I turned around, and I bent down, and there was a moon right over...
Rising over Miami.
Rising over the news desk. And Mike was reading, and all of a sudden it was just, ha, 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 ha. And, you know, he could not recover. And they had to stop, and Steve had to say, well, and that's the rest of the news for today. And we laughed so hard, and like, oh, God, I don't know how long we talked about it, but I said, you finally lost her. You finally lost it. I had to do that.
It was a classic. Definitely a classic.
And worse yet, he says, I told my kids that. Now they all think they know you. Yeah, who was the guy, Dad, that, you know.
Remember the guys from the prison that would always call you? Was that every night they called? They had a 9 o'clock they'd call for a song.
Oh, that was.
And that's where the rubber band man came from. That guy would always call.
That's where you played all the time.
He goes, man, you got to play the rubber band man. And after a while, it's like, Jesus, he calls again.
That's
then I started to like it.
That's why you played it all the time.
Yeah, because of the guy in the prison.
Oh,
I wonder what happened to him.
That was probably what started the exposure to Tom Waits. Was
the prison?
The prison.
Yeah.
Well,
they always had a call.
There was the night, if you were working that shift, there was you always, and
you'd always get a call. You knew
Jimmy Buffett was another one who the call came in and he kept asking for the same song.
Yep.
Whenever you were working, it was the same. And I'm sure a lot of that was the prison.
And you were kind of afraid not to play because they might get out.
Yeah. Be dead.
And they weren't that far away.
Yeah, exactly. When I get out.
It was a lot of fun. There were a lot of good people, fun people, and you never felt as an outsider. I mean, most everybody that would get involved, and I presume it's very similar now, it just was always a very embracing kind of a group of people. And then one other little thing that I remember is meeting Prince before he was Prince.
Oh, is that right?
Up here?
Bo Travis.
Oh, Bo was tied in.
Brought him here.
That's right.
Okay.
And he entered, and I remember this because I think maybe Steve Applin was still the music director at that point, but Bo had brought him in, and my office was in the same room with the music director, and Bo Travis came in because he introduced us to, wasn't Prince then, but he said, you guys need to follow this guy. He's going to be a star. And he was, whatever, still maybe a junior or sophomore in high school.
Because Bo Travis was one of the originals at KMLJ in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
But that was the other thing I was going to say, too, that was so cool. And the reason I came to St. Cloud is because even at the University of Minnesota, they were broadcasting to dorms. We had 10 watts, which was big time. We were a real radio station. So when you had classes, journalism classes, you went to the mayor or you went to the representatives. You did stories. The way you do them in the regular world.
Right.
So that's why I think so many of our graduates were so prepared when you got out of here. You weren't intimidated. You knew exactly what I had to tell a sheriff, you know, I'm going to go with what I have here for information. He goes, no, you can't do that. I says, oh, yeah, I can and I will. And he said, where'd you get that? And I said, where everybody gets the news, down at the restaurant, you know. but the thing was that we learned our craft. We really did, and we did it, you know, for classes. And here especially, I lived in the station for the 2 years. I was doing interviews with coaches of the week on a watch line. And, I mean, we had such great facilities, you know, that, you know, we were able to actually work in the business when we were learning the business.
And that final voice was Steve Carlson here on The Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. And his flirtation live on air wraps up part one of two of The Untold Story of KVSC Radio. We just celebrated our 50th year. We had a reunion in town, and a lot of former students and staff came back to celebrate and share their stories. If you visit our website at kvsc.org, under the podcasts and features link, you can find hours of audio from that weekend and also some of the original 1967 broadcasts of KVSC. If you're an alumni and would like to get your oral history recorded and shared upon our website, we strongly encourage it. So please get in touch with us. It's pretty easy. Send us an email at info@kvsc.org or give us a call. I'm sure you still know the number. Stay tuned to KVSC for part two of the feature, where we jump into the 80s and 90s, and even visit with the modern era as we continue to see how the professional learning environment of KVSC is perpetuated by mischief and shenanigans, and yet somehow always produces quality and award-winning radio. the kind of radio which has made KVSC your sound alternative and the voice of St. Cloud for 50 years. This is Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack, and the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota is made possible through support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, and has been produced at KVSC, a proud member of AMPERS, Diverse Radio for Minnesota's Communities.